You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
What's going on, trade pros? Welcome back to another episode of Mind Over Markets with your hosts, myself, Mark Borscht, and
George Papazov.
Awesome. Thanks, Georgie. In today's episode, we have got a very, very exciting topic planned. And that topic is going to be one that I'm sure a lot of traders can relate to. I know I would have loved to hear this advice when I initially started. And that topic is on bouncing back from a blown account. All right, so that's what we're going to be talking about today, guys. We're going to be sharing some of our own experiences with this. You know, I don't think I know of any trader that has found success that hasn't blown accounts in the past. And really the benefit of this episode is that we're going to give you guys a process, a structured process in order to help recover that account. All right, so before we actually dive into the topic, let's hear a quick message from the sponsor of this podcast, TradePro Academy.
Just a quick message. This episode is sponsored by the lovely folks at TradePro Academy. So you want to learn how to trade. I think one of the most important aspects of trading is psychology. A lot of traders say 90% of success is due to the fact that they're implementing their psychology or have their psychology set up properly. But how much time have you invested in working on yours? TradePro Academy has a full-fledged trading psychology course based on advanced techniques and methodologies proven to work and designed on the premise of neuro-linguistic programming adapted to trading. Very few people in this business, if any at all, provide this level of training on this level of deep psychology. We've had a lot of members that have started the program, those that have gone to become successful in trading with great results, credit the trading psychology course as the biggest reason or one of the best resources we have on our website. And so it's not surprising that the biggest difference maker is not a strategy tool or a template, but rather work into your own psychology. So check it out. We have a great full-fledged trading psychology course. And now back to the show.
Yeah, where can I get my hands on that? That sounds pretty interesting.
TradeProAcademy.com. It's part of our elite package, and we really believe in providing value. So we have a low monthly subscription package with access to all the tools. No upsells, no BS, no nothing. Join the team. Just pure gold.
There you go. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it from the sponsor himself. So guys, let's go ahead and dive into this topic. I think before we actually introduce the process that you're going to want to follow to start recovering your account, the losses that you may have made, I think it'd be interesting for us to kind of share our own experiences on this topic. So, Georgie, let's start with you. I kind of know your story, the gold story, but if you don't mind just kind of sharing that with the audience and kind of going through what your experience was with that and kind of how you recovered, how you bounced back, and you know how you got yourself to where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's no secret I've blown accounts. I'll tell you this story, but this isn't the only time. And it, you know, to be honest with you guys, I don't know very many traders, if one, that has gone directly from starting out to not experiencing the situation. And I think the opportunity here is to, if you're going to have one of these moments, to do it when it's cheap. And it's cheap when you're first starting out and your account's at the lowest it'll ever be.
Yeah.
And so I had this story. So for me, it happened on gold. When I first started trading, I was trading currencies. And as part of the currency platform, they have something called contract for differences where you could trade metals as well. So it's the dollar versus gold versus the US dollar. So the pair is XAU USD. You probably know that one very well, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my introduction to gold. And so this story goes back quite a bit. All right. This was all the way. I'm actually pulling up a chart right now so I give you exact dates.
Oh, wow.
It's been a very long time.
I'm not that prepared.
So, well, for me, all right, I'll just strip the dates out. But for me, it was when gold hit 1,000. It was somewhere around 08. All right. And so gold was trading upward. And, you know, to me, I started this strategy in around mid-2007. Gold was trading around $680 an ounce. Okay, so you got to remember, this is ridiculously long ago.
Can I still buy it at that?
Yeah, this was the first, blown out account that I've had in history. So it was 07, it was beginning to work. I was on a 1 hour chart and the goal was just pull back longs into gold. So what I would do is I just continued to add, and I held positions overnight. Then it broke $1,000 per ounce. And this was around March of 2008. All right. If you remember what happened around that time, stock markets were collapsing. So what I was doing is on the way down, I was doing the same thing. Keep adding. This was in my younger years. I was much younger than I am now. And it was more significant money to me back then than it is today. And I took an account that I, 10, 15, 20 times over in my success. And I lost it all down to every penny. I think I was left with something under $1 when I finally closed it all out.
Oh, nice.
Because you could scale on small amounts, right? You could do micro lots and all that. So I literally had nothing. I lost all my gains and my capital. It was devastating. And guess what happened? Gold turned around, and if I would have just held it, it would have worked out. But the point I'm making is that I was getting away with blindly doing something that I didn't really know what I was doing. Not on gold. I didn't know the market. I didn't know it that well. I just tried it out. It tended to work. I fluked it. And, they say don't confuse bulls for brains. When it was going up, it was great. The first sign of the downside, I annihilated the whole thing. And so what I learned from that is it's not really about where you get in, what market you're trading. What's more important is to know what your risk management approach is going to be. When will you, take profit? I mean, taking profit wasn't a consideration I had. I'm like, at this pace, I'm going to be a trillionaire. it was growing a lot very quickly. So I had a challenge there. Then I also, another account that I had trouble with, I started out when I quit my job to trade futures full-time. I had a smaller account. So the first 3 months, I lost something like $20,000. It wasn't 3 months. It was about a month and a half, 6 weeks. Lost about $20,000 very quickly. It was a very, very bad start to what it was then going to be my career, which is to this day. And then I went to a smaller account. I put $4,000 in, and I started doing really well, small amounts. And then I also blew that one out. My adjustment period was rough to full-time trading just because, to me, I had been successful before, but now that I relied on it completely, it was more of a psychological thing. I didn't have really psychology training at the time. So, I've been through this process. I know how it feels. In fact, I remember when I blew out the futures account, when I blew out gold, I wasn't really upset because I knew I was fluking the gains. But I blew out the futures account, Marky. I was laying on the ground and my wife comes home. She's like, what happened? I'm like, I just had a disastrous day. And I'll never forget what she told me. She's like, either get your ass up and try it again, or if you're laying down on the floor, she told me to keep moving around so at least I could sweep it or like mop the floor kind of thing. It's just like, it was good to have that accountability. So that's my story. I've done it twice. I've done it other times as well on small account challenges, but for the most part, this is not a unique experience to you. So if you're listening and it's happened, I want you to know that this is part of the journey for most people. What about you? When was your...
So I think the first one that I blew was during the initial marijuana boom in 2014. I think it was. I actually just found the chart. And the company was, it was a ticker FITX. It's called Creative Edge Nutrition.
Ooh.
And this thing had ran from basically zero as a, it was a penny stock essentially, and had ran up to 0.1.
10 cents.
Yeah. It had ran up quite some ways. And I was on, I think it was on Twitter. This was really, really early on the career. I was on Twitter and I was seeing, people, buying houses and buying cars and all that kind of stuff on the back of, just buying these marijuana stocks and holding them, right? So I see this move happening. I'm like, man, I want to have a house and I want to have a car and I want this and that. So I got long right near the top around, I don't remember where it was, around point, it was around 9 cents or 8 cents, something like that.
So you saw some upside though at some point.
I saw some upside, but it wasn't enough to get a car. It wasn't enough to get a house. And so I held and I held and I held until eventually I sold it off and closed out that account with basically nothing in it. That was the first time. And then after that little foray into penny stocks, I decided to try my hand at options. And so I was just doing outright options plays, just puts and calls. And I remember, I don't remember exactly when it was. This was probably around, I want to say 2015-ish. I was trading Amazon. And excuse me, I decided to put on a good chunk of my account into an Amazon position. I'm thinking because Amazon was around, I think, three figures at the time. And I put my money into that option. And just as quickly as I put it into that play, I didn't understand options at all at that time. I didn't know theta. I didn't know any of those things.
None of the Greeks.
The time, yeah, none of the Greeks, the thetas, the betas, all of
just
those.
Zambuca,
all of those fun things. And I basically got taken out on that. And that, you know, it was a small account, but I shouldn't have put in that much in the position. But that was that blown account, right? And so that's pretty much been, I did blow another one. I think futures also, futures account. A while back, and that was pretty much the same kind of thing. I had a plan, but I wasn't really trading the plan, and so it was kind of a me thing. And that was really the last time that I've blown an account. And it takes those lessons. Those I feel like that is kind of your initiation into this career. As unfortunate as it is, like we said at the beginning of this episode, Georgie can speak for himself, but I personally don't know anybody that has found success that hasn't blown accounts in the past.
I feel like it's almost a rite of passage to get to that point, to experience it. But I think it's also important that we notice, or we mention that when we talk about blowing an account, we're not saying blowing your life savings in an account.
Exactly.
We're saying you put in a couple thousand dollars and you're going to try something. You have this idea here. I'm going to do marijuana stocks. All right, that's one idea. Of a trading approach. Let me try it. And so you blow it out. Okay, great. You put some money in a futures. We're not saying that like I've ruined my life financially on any one trading account. I don't know one person that, well, actually, sadly, I do know people who have done that. But we're also not endorsing here that you should be going like that. What we're saying is put in a couple $1,000 to start and you blow it out. That's what we're talking about here. I don't ever endorse anyone to put all the money that they have, especially money they're relying for, like, you know, stability for survival with their family. I don't suggest you put any of that money or all the money you have into any one thing. That's a disaster, and it's a big no-no.
And I think both of us can speak just on the back of our own experiences, having worked in a brokerage. You know, I've seen, you know, back, I think it was October 2017, I saw one client there pretty much erase their whole, in Canada, we have RRSPs, kind of similar to the 401ks in the States. I saw a gentleman, you know, a six-figure account just dwindle down to four figures.
Wow.
Right. In the course of a month. Right. So we've seen stuff like that. And yeah, I don't know if George can speak on this, but on my end, having seen that and seen what it does to those individuals is enough to get me to not do that.
Yeah, right. I've seen a guy go from 6 million on Apple options down to a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah, like it can be devastating, especially if you put essentially your entire liquid net worth into these kinds of things. So that's not what we recommend to do. What we do recommend to do is, if you guys are going to be trading, is to fund it with money that, you know, you don't rely on. You don't need to survive. You don't need for your retirement. Whatever the case is, this should be money that you should be fine losing it all. If that's what it comes to,
and it won't change your lifestyle.
Exactly, and it won't change your lifestyle.
Love it. So, I mean, how do we recover an account, Mark? So I know that we've had this similar experience, and like, what is the procedure we're gonna go through? Because I think we've planned a 5-step process to help you guys recover your account and your psychology, which is more important than the account. And there are two parts of the same equation. So what do you think here, Mark? What's the number one thing we could do? Step number one,
ladies and gentlemen, this is honestly the most important step. That's why it's step number one. And that is accepting your responsibility for the losses. All right. Why is this extremely important? Well, because if you accept responsibility for those losses, it gives you the control required to make a change. This idea kind of goes back to the concept of living at cause versus living at effect. And, you know, if you're hearing this, living at cause, living at effect, what does that mean? This is new to you. Make sure to check out the first episode of this podcast, which was called Unlocking the user manual for your brain. All right. Living at cause is a huge, huge concept. And if you live at cause, you're essentially taking control of, you know, everything that happens in your life. You're taking accountability for that. And that gives you the control to make the changes required, you know, to get you where that you want, to get you where you want to be. All right. So step number one, accept that you've lost. Any amount of money that you lost in previous trades, in previous years, that is all done in the past. All right, guys, those are mistakes you've made back then. You can't change anything about that other than accepting it for what it is. Now, think about today. Think about the now. Think about this moment, this exact moment in time. Opportunity is in the future, and you have got to let go of the past.
I love that. Yeah, it's, you know, this is a very important step, Mark. I think this is where it all begins, because you're accepting responsibility for the loss itself. You're accepting that you created this result. It wasn't somebody's system. It wasn't someone's indicators. It was the person who clicked the mouse. And so unless your cat was like dancing on the table and clicking your mouse doing trades for you, you can't even blame the cat, because you shouldn't have let your cat be up there. So it's 100% your responsibility. And with that comes an emotional kind of drain as well. I know that feeling. I know the feeling you blow out an account and you go home and just like everything feels heavy. Like your mind is like, you try to eat, you try to watch some Netflix, play some video games, whatever you try to do. And all you could think of is that thing just jumps right back in your brain, right? You're like, oh my God, I blew up my account today. So I think on those days, you got to emotionally bring yourself to the point where you just accept it. If you haven't accepted the fact yet that it's happened, it's not time to even like start step one here. You know, you just haven't accepted the responsibility. So I think it's like, allow that emotion to sink in, allow the reality to set in, and there's going to come a day. It might take you a day, it might take you an hour, it might take you a week, could even take you a month. Depends on how much capital is on the line, how much it means to you, and how much, to what extent you're accepting that it's your responsibility. But, you know, there comes a point where you're just going to say, you know what, screw it. What's done is done. Let's move on. You got to be at that point. And and to me, that's the important part.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I would add one more thing. I know that, you know, in those moments when, you know, the first two times I blew the account, I wasn't really into psychology work, anything like that. So it was a little bit of a different journey. But the last time that I did, I was already in the psychology thing, and so I think for me, what accepting it. Accepting your responsibility for the losses does is, for me personally, it's kind of a trigger to kind of just let go.
Right.
It's almost like the monkey off your back. It's like, all right, man, like that crap's in the past. Like, what do I have to do to go forward? And the longer that you kind of, you know, especially if you're not a person that lives at cause and you're somebody that lives in effect, you really can't make change towards the better if you don't accept it, right? It's very easy to say, oh, you know what, man, whatever, my strategy didn't work. Or, you know, if you're following any trade alerts, trade signals, anything like that, it's very easy to put the blame on, you know what, the person that called the signal, it was a bad signal and I lost money as a result of that. I don't have to do anything. I'll just refund the account and, you know, try again with a different signal service.
Right.
Something like that. And when you're not taking responsibility for that, you really can't make any change from it. So until you actually sit down, you know, clear your head, accept what you've done, and just focus and tell yourself, you know, I'm going to be moving forward. You kind of want to look at those numbers in your account, you know, whatever the result is. If it's a big loss on the account or if it's a completely blown up account, you want to say something like, this negative amount that I've lost has been an educational lesson that I have learned from. And the only way to recover is to sit down, clamp in, and do something for the future.
Absolutely. Like, people go to school for 4 years, make $20 an hour. And it's like, you know, how much education have you paid to start trading? And it's like, you know, the ability to earn an income on your own pace, your own schedule, be your own boss, comes with the responsibility of, you know, you're going to have to pay some education costs. And it's like tuition, like Mark said. This amount of money I'm down, have I learned from it? I think, as long as you've learned from it, you're not down, you're progressing. But if you make some mistakes, blow out an account, refund it the next morning, and continue to do the same thing, that's a loss. And that's not an acceptable loss. That's not a business loss. It's a, you know, it's kind of like, how do we say it? It should be illegal to do that. You should come up with some kind of system, process, strategy, because if you're just refunding and doing the same thing over again, you're sending good money after bad. And, you know, what that's saying is you might have blown out $500 you put in, but if you have $10,000 in your account, you're going to continue to refund it till you blow it to the point you're like, okay, something's got to change.
Yeah, exactly. And so that there, guys, is step one. As simple as that sounds, unless you can accept it, there's really no point of going forward with the remaining four steps. All right. So accept responsibility for those losses. And before we switch over to the second step in this process, we've got a quote.
Oh, I was hoping you would have missed that. I love that quote.
How can I miss this quote? This is actually, I would say, probably my favorite, my absolutely favorite quote.
Of all time?
Of all time.
Wow.
And this is from Mr. Winston Churchill. And the quote is, success is going from failure to failure without a loss of enthusiasm.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Let that one sink in. Let me repeat that. Success is going from failure to failure without a loss of enthusiasm.
You know why you don't lose your enthusiasm? Because you're probably learning along the way.
Exactly.
But if you're not and just repeating the same mistakes, you're going to lose enthusiasm real quick.
Real quick.
I know that as well firsthand.
And so let's move on to step number two, guys. Step number two of the five-step process to recover your account. And I'll let Georgie say this one.
Analyze your results. In this case, losses. This is what you've generated.
Exactly. And so imagine this. You are actually directly responsible for your results. And this is not something for majority of people that are, you know, used to the 9-to-5 life, the corporate jobs. This is not very commonplace in a corporate jobs. All right. Oftentimes in corporate jobs, whenever we do a project, etc., we're not the ones that are analyzing it. We send it off to who? To the boss. The boss analyzes it, and then the boss provides feedback. Right. And that's why, you know, especially when you think about keeping things like a trading journal, giving yourself honest feedback, it's very difficult for the majority of people because they're not used to doing it. They're used to having a boss that, you know, gives them the feedback. You did a good job, you did a bad job, etc. Right? So what you have to do is you have to be honest with yourself when analyzing your results. What was the cause of those losses? And so you can essentially break this down into two separate categories. When you're doing this analysis of your results, the first category is you. It's a you thing. All right. So you fall into this category if, let's say, you have a strategy, but you're not following it. Or let's say you have a lack of discipline. You can't wait for the trade. You get FOMO. You start chasing. You get too emotional while you're in a trade. If that sounds like something that you can relate to, it's likely a you thing. You put that into the you category of the analysis. The other side, the other category or the other bucket, if you will, is strategy. All right. So if you don't have a strat, or let's say if you do have a strategy and you can say that you're honestly following it with discipline, with diligence, and with patience, and you're able to do that, but you're still losing trades, then it's likely that the strategy is an issue. All right.
Much less likely. I just think that if you have a strategy and you're following it, it would take you so long to blow out an account that somewhere along the way you would have said, look, the strategy is not working. Let me see if I can adjust it. I don't think following a strategy disciplinedly leads to a lot of account blowouts. It can, but that's not the fastest way to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you kind of look at these two categories, the you side of it and the strategy side of it, it's really quite simple. Is it the machine or the operator that's the issue, right? If it's the machine, that's a relatively easy fix. As Georgie would say, you know, with the strategy, if it's a strategy that's broken down and you're implementing it and still taking those losses, it's just a simple tweak that you got to make, all right, with the strategies. Whereas it becomes a little bit more difficult and there's a little bit more work required if it's you, right? If it's something that has to do with lack of discipline, if you can't wait to get into the trade, if you're revenge trading, if you're getting emotional while you're in a trade, right? That's psychology work that has to be addressed really before you keep on trading live or before your next live trade.
I love that. You know, it's like, especially the operator machine market. I think that I use this analogy often. I might have even used it on a podcast already, but you know, it's hard to write original material these days. So what I usually like to think of it is, if you went into Lewis Hamilton's Mercedes car, and you had a chance to drive that car, market, and he had your, I don't know what you drive. Let's say for the listener, let's say you have a Honda. It's a pretty reasonable car. I had a Honda before, and of course. And so if you let Lewis Hamilton drive your Honda, I guarantee you he'll put in a better lap time than you will with Lewis Hamilton. I bet you couldn't even take the car for like the first turn. It'll be in the grass. It'll be laughing at you because, you know, it's not the vehicle. It's the operator. The operator will drive the crap out of that Honda. In fact, I remember there being a, was it David Letterman, I think? No, it wasn't. The guy with the big long beard. He's got a Netflix show now.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. Was it not Letterman?
It might be, but
it might be Letterman.
Who?
It's definitely not Jay Leno.
It's not Jay Leno. But anywho, he was in the car. David Letterman, yeah.
It is David Letterman.
Yeah, David Letterman was in a car with Lewis Hamilton, and he was like driving the crap out of this Mercedes, like to the point that he's looking at David Letterman, he's laughing, he's like, ah, look, the brakes just went out, and David Letterman looks scared, he's like, oh my god, and Lewis is like just throwing it through the corners with no brakes. It's like, it's not the machine, believe me, it's the operator. A good operator can do well with an average machine, and same thing with trading. You know, it's how you're executing the strategy is more than likely to be the problem here. If you're following your strategy and you're blowing out your account, that's fantastic because you could use that information to improve your strategy.
Exactly. And this is kind of, you know, a layup into the importance of keeping a trading journal. And I believe that was our previous episode on this podcast, the importance of keeping a trading journal, right? And so this step becomes, I mean, it's very crucial to have a trading journal because if you don't have a journal, how can you analyze results? There's nothing to analyze. There's no data. And this kind of leads into that next quote. Told you guys we're going to have some quotes today.
I love quotes.
And this quote is from W. Edwards Deming. And this quote is, without data, you're just another person with an opinion.
I love it. That you chose this one. This is such a you quote. It's a great quote.
Right. And so first step, we'll just summarize so far. First step is you've got to accept responsibility for those losses. All right. You're going to feel, I can't promise you, you'll feel a sigh of relief, but you'll be at peace knowing that, you know, going forward, you've learned your lesson and that you're going to be putting in the right processes going forward so that you can prevent that from happening and so that you can continue to progress towards consistent profitability.
And be empowered to change. When you decide to be responsible, you have the ability and power to make changes.
That's a good word, empowered. You're going to feel a lot more empowered once you accept responsibility for that. And second step, again, analyzing those results. Really, really be honest with yourself, guys. You know, trading is an industry that it's very, I don't want to say secluded, but it's very difficult to talk about trading and, you know, your results with other people. And this is one of the reasons why community is so important. And this isn't to plug anything, but honestly, with a community, it's a lot easier to kind of go through these things, to accept them and to analyze them. Because if you're sitting there in the bedroom by yourself, you know, it's very easy to go down a dark wormhole, especially when you're hitting losses, right? It's very easy to say, you know, this wasn't me. This was whoever's call. Maybe the market's just not trading the right way. Maybe this, maybe that. And that's not going to help you get to where, it's not going to empower you to get to where you want to. All right. So make sure that you are honest with yourself. You don't keep this away, because the longer that you keep it hidden and you keep it, you know, away from the world, if you will, if you don't speak it out loud, speak it out to yourself, then it's just going to sit there and it's just going to build and build until, you know, you take the mother of all losses at one point. So,
and then you're out for good.
And then you're out for good. Exactly.
I love it. So step number three, Mark. Exactly. What do we do after that? So we accept the responsibility. All right. We analyze our results. And then where are we at with step number three?
We are at the step where we make a plan. All right. So after you guys have accepted responsibility for those losses, you have gone ahead and analyzed the results. Now you got to make a plan. All right. And we're going to liken this back to the 9-to-5 corporate lifestyle. Right? Trading is not a business where you can fly by the seat of your pants. All right. In a 9-to-5 job, I can't say I've ever done this, but in a 9-to-5 job, there are some jobs where you can go in, you can fall asleep for a little bit, you know, do this and that, and you still get paid. In trading, if you do a bad job, you're losing money. That money is out of your pocket. So now imagine showing up to work, doing a crappy job, and at the end of the day, your boss actually comes to you and say, you know what? You didn't add any value today, George. And for that, I'm actually going to charge you for today. You're going to be getting a negative salary on today's date.
That's never happened in my 9-to-5 job. Yeah. But it has happened in trading. But 100% though, I agree with you, Marky, here. It's, you know, it's very important that you understand that if you're doing performance pay, it could go either way.
Exactly. And so you need a plan to execute. All right? You need a plan to execute. And the traders that are closest to breaking through and finding success are those that are disciplined, emotionally sound, have trading experience, but don't necessarily have a concrete plan. And so what is a concrete plan? Well, a concrete plan is going to have everything, and I mean everything, laid out in this plan. For example, something like when you will get in, what hours you're going to be trading, when you'll get out, how much you can lose in a day and still keep trading. How about how much you can lose in a week and still keep trading? What about a month and still keep trading? At which point do you walk away for the day? At which point do you add risk to trades? At which point do you, you know, size up on trades? At which point do you reduce size on trades, et cetera, et cetera. So making a plan is going to be crucial. And especially if you've done step two, where you've analyzed your results and you found where your weaknesses lie, this plan, as you're developing it, you already know what your weaknesses are. So this is where you effectively input safeguards against, you know, those behaviors that are sabotaging your results, especially from a psychological standpoint.
I feel like this is like a business plan, right? Like
effectively, yeah.
You're starting a business, and so this is your business plan. And, you know, if you're doing any business, you're going to have to do, first of all, a feasibility study. Before you put in any money, is this even the right business for you to be in? Do you have the skill set? Do you have the capital? But then once you decide that, hey, I'm going in full force with this, you're going to want to spend your money efficiently, right? If you're going to have a shot. They say a lot of businesses fail. Well, they fail because there's a lack of planning. How are you going to succeed when you don't know what you are currently going to do, and when you don't know when something happens, what that means you're going to adjust, how you're going to change so things change? And so I think that transpires directly into trading. Without a plan, what are you planning to do? Nothing. You're planning to just look for any opportunity. And the thing with the market is that's different than business. In any given day, you could see dozens of opportunities. They could suck you in. And if you don't know what you're looking for, anything looks great. You know, but if you think about life, if I asked you what kind of car you want, what's your dream car, what's your dream house, you're going to know. What's your dream setup? I just want the money for the car. But, you know, you gotta have, that's why it's important to have a plan. And before you even start, if you've blown out account, if you start again without a plan, you're probably going to blow that one out too. I know that from firsthand experience.
Probably even faster than the prior one.
Exactly. Because now you're revenge trading.
Exactly. And so guys, really this one's pretty simple. Make a plan, test it, tweak it, and then trade it. All right? Forget about wishing, have a plan, and execute it. And we're going to sign off on step number three with another quote. And this one is unnamed, but I really do like this quote. It takes as much energy to wish as it does to plan. All right. So forget like about wishing, have a plan and execute it. All right. And so that is step number three. Now we'll lead into step number four, and we'll just do a quick summary of what we have covered so far. So step number one, we accepted our losses and the results. Step number two, we've identified and analyzed those results and what we have to work on. In step number three, we developed a plan. And so what comes next? What comes next, guys? What do you think comes next? Once you've done all of that.
Oh my gosh. Take action.
Take action. Exactly. So now that you have a plan, you trade your strategy in demo. All right. And so you're not going to be sticking around in demo, you know, until you feel confident enough to get back into live. That's not the plan here. The plan here is you've got your plan. You want to test it out in a simulated environment first. So you'll get into demo. You'll spend a week or two into demo, in demo. And the one thing that we kind of want you to consider while you're in that process is for every single trade that you take, you have to place it with the intention that you're going to look back and ask yourself, if I was hiring this person to trade my money for me, would this be a good trade? All right. If you can answer yes to that, if it's part of your plan, great, take the trade. This is still in demo, right? If you can say no to that at the time of execution, then it's likely a bad trade and one that you should not be taking. All right. So that one question, ask yourself that one question in that period while you're in demo for that week or two after you've accepted your results, you've analyzed them, and you've put together the plan. If I was hiring this person to trade for me, is this a good trade? All right. That one question, if you answer yes, perfect, take it. If you answer no, it's not a good trade. That is not an operation cost. If it's a loss, that's just a dumb loss.
See, I just thought of something here, Mark. Do you think that? Do you think that sometimes people, because at work, in any job that you do, you share your results with other people, so they know who generated this report. So because you know it's your name on it, you put this extra effort to do work you're proud of. I don't care if you do it the night before and you stay up till 4 a.m. People don't know that. They just see the report.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that putting your name on things is what makes people work extra hard in a corporate world because they know it's going to be scrutinized and it's going to be tied to them? Whereas in trading, you know, you don't necessarily have to do trades you're proud of because most people don't show it to anyone. They're not part of a community. So they're like, what does this really matter? I could get away with this.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's an accountability thing, and I'm happy you brought that point up because I know for myself personally, I really tend to do the best when I'm actually sharing my screen in the day rooms with, we run live day trading rooms each morning from 9 till 11. And, I will say this, that when I'm doing it live, with my screen showing, really showing everybody, I know that I'm a lot more patient and I adhere to my rule set a lot more stringently. Than when I'm not doing it.
Because you're playing in front of an audience, right? You have spectators and they're watching the game.
And you can't really get away with stuff, right? Like you'll say, oh man, I'm not going to trade unless it gets above this level or below this level. And then you fall off the mic and you've taken a trade within those zones that you said you're not going to do. And then while you're on there, you know, it's easy to say, all right, I'm going to look to take a trade here when it happens. And then when it does come, you want to jump on that, right? Because that's what the plan is. So yeah, to answer your question, yeah, I think it's an accountability thing. And I know, even looking back at my experience working in corporate, anytime my name in specific wasn't the main person that this is going to go back to, my name wasn't on it, then I wouldn't put as much emphasis and, you know, really try to make it as good and kind of have the work speak for myself as it did when it was just myself on there.
Yeah, because I mean, now you're, you know, now people know your name. It's accountable. It's tied to you. And I think that's important, right? Because in trading, you have to replicate that environment somehow. The best way to do it is to be part of a community, you know, to be accountable to somebody. We have a community we trade with on a daily basis. The most dangerous thing you can do is, you know, take a lot of this money you've worked so hard to save up and then go in the corner of your bedroom and blow out your account. Nobody knows. You know, you start getting upset about it. You can't talk to anyone. And that's how you create trauma. I'm not even kidding. You could literally create trauma in this business if you approach it the exact opposite way of what we've dedicated our life to creating. It's nuts. This is all we do for you guys. And, you know, I'm very, very thankful for the community. And I'm seeing a lot of success within it just because of that one factor.
Yeah, exactly. So there, guys, that is how you take action. All right, get into demo for a week or two, you really got to take every single trade with that intention that you're going to be asking yourself as a boss. You know, you got to play both the employee and the boss. And at the end of the day, if you go back in and you show that boss, i.e. yourself, those trades, and those aren't good trades, those really shouldn't have been taken, right?
Once you do trades you're proud of.
Exactly. You want to take trades that you're proud of. And you're going to do that for a week or two. After you build up your confidence in demo, another suggestion would be is to fund the account, all right, with a small amount, you know, no greater than $1,000. You really don't need much more than $1,000 these days. And you're going to be trading the micros, all right? Not as sexy as the minis. You know, they're a hundredth the size of them, but a tenth the size of them. And it's going to get skin in the game, all right? And so once you've gotten out of this demo, you've gone through that week or two in demo, you've traded, you've taken each trade, you've qualified each trade, and you're happy with each of those trades. Now you funded the account with $1,000. Now you're off to micros. The process remains literally the same. Now you've just got a little bit of skin in the game and you're going to be placing live trades to build up your confidence. All right. You want to do this for maybe another 2 or 3 weeks or so in the micros, build up the account, build up your confidence in the strategy, build up your confidence in your execution. And then at that point, you can transition over to the minis and keep trading your plan. All right. If you normally trade, you know, threes, fours, fives, whatever it is in the minis, start with one or two. Start small. Get your confidence up by winning a couple of trades, getting a couple of green sessions under your belt, and then start scaling back up to what the regular size was.
I love that. So like start small and scale up with success.
Exactly.
Some of the most successful businesses, billions worth, have started that way. That's almost the only way to start a business and successfully do it with some kind of probability rate, because you want to start small as it's working, add some more money in. If you're starting out because you sold a business and you have cash, you're coming in with a little bit of pocket money.
Billions.
Yeah, it's... You're coming in with beans. You know, it's a liability to you because you might have been really great to the point that you built up a business and exited it and you made a lot of money. But now you're starting a new job at an entry level and coming in with a million. I'm not kidding you. I had a guy say, I wanted to put $1 million in my futures account. Like, are you nuts? $1 million? Like, you have to earn the right to control that trading size account. How do you do it? You start with one lot or $1,000. When you're being successful, you know, add some money in the account. When you get consistent, add some more money in the account and then build it up that way. Rather than I don't care how much cash you have. You don't need it. Put that aside. Put it to work in other ways. Start small. It's the only way to start. And that's a very important factor. I think we do a whole episode on starting small.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, just to kind of echo what Georgia was saying, is that when you're starting, a large account can actually be a hindrance to your development as opposed to starting small. You know, like you said, a lot of people that have found great success in their respective industries, they're used to a certain amount of income.
Exactly. Right?
And so, you know, coming in from an industry or a career where, you know, that's what you know, that's all you know, and you've had great success in that, and then coming into a new industry and expecting to hit that kind of that same or equivalent or even greater success right off the bat, that's kind of a recipe for destruction. So at the start small, whether you're, you know, whether you have $1 million bankroll or you have $1,000, probably not $1,000, like $5,000 to $10,000bankroll, and then start small, scale up with profits, with house money, and then you're off to the races. All right, guys? So that is step number 4. Take action. And we're going to finish this step off with another lovely little quote. And again, I don't know who said this one. We'll just call it anonymous. But the distance between your dreams and reality is called action.
Love it.
All right. That's action. So that is the 4 steps. And our final step here, guys, which we've kind of touched on already, but it's always great to finish off with a nice little summary. So step number 5, guys, is absorb. All right. You want to absorb. You want to become a part of a successful trading community, and you want to absorb as much knowledge as possible. You want to be a sponge, right? SpongeBob SquarePants. No trademark.
I think it is trademark.
All right. So
we'll ask them for permission. I'll write into
we'll
the
delete
SpongeBob
that.
Team.
We'll delete that. So that's what you guys want to do. You want to absorb. All right. You always want to be, I mean, you want to be part of a successful community of traders, because at the end of the day, each trader is individual. All right. Each trader has their own personality. They have things that they prefer, and you can learn from that. All right. There's a lot of things that I've taken, not only from Victorio or from George. You know, I work with them in the office every single day. But there's also members that I've taken things from.
100% on a daily basis.
On a daily basis. You know, Dave, who's now a coach, you guys will hear something interesting with him in a bit of time. But he's a student turned trade pro coach. And, you know, he's taught me one of the things, which was, I can tell you what this one was. It was to try to disqualify a trade. And if you can't disqualify it, it's probably a good trade to take. Right, that
so
was one
the opposite end of the approach.
Exactly,
I love that, yeah.
A different type of approach, and it's little nuances like this. As you build throughout your career, and you start to apply these little things here and there, these are the little tweaks that are going to really refine your edge as a trader.
I wonder if that works for trades you're in as well. You know, sometimes when you get to the point where you're consistent on the initial trade, you start to wonder, how could I trail this? Mm-hmm. How could I run it so I make more? You know, I think that could be applied there too. So if you're in a trade, if you can't disqualify it, stay in it.
There you go.
That's a good little tip. So I've just learned something here now, a different way of seeing this stuff after being in this business for 20 years.
There you go. So always look for things other traders are doing that you might not be. All right. The goal here is that as long as you remain a trader and you're in this industry, you're going to be a forever student of the markets, and you're going to try to constantly refine your trading edge. Right, so seek to discover new things. It's a constantly evolving scope. You know, for example, if you're an equities trader and maybe somebody in the community is a bond trader, well, guess what? They're inversely correlated. So when the bond trader is going to be looking to buy, it's likely a good time to start looking to sell equities. So little things like this really, really help add towards your own personal edge. All right. And, you know, trading in itself is it's a dream to everyone, especially once you find success with it. You know, you're able to have really your time back, financial freedom, etc. But it is not a social thing. All right. Trading is not a social thing, especially if you do it by yourself. You do it by yourself. Yes, you might find success, but inevitably you're going to peak in your results and you're going to peak in happiness. Right. If you can't share your success with anybody, what good is that success? Yeah. Right. You can have all the money in the bank, but if you're not really doing anything with it or anything with somebody else, what does that really mean? You know what I mean? So what does that really mean?
Well, I look at it this way, Mark, because when you take a trade, let's say you're going to buy something. Mm-hmm. In order for you to be able to buy it, what's going to need to happen? It's not a trick question.
Someone's got to sell it.
Yeah. Right? So somebody's got to sell it to you. So look at this. You're trading against someone. So if you're trading against someone, doesn't it make sense to trade with someone? Do you really want to go up against people by yourself?
Huh.
Or would you rather make this a team approach? And I kind of wonder about this. You know, it's isolated because we sit there and we look at a monitor and we think our success is me against this monitor. But the monitor is just showing the battle and what other people are doing. Why would you want to go to battle alone? And to me, that was one of the biggest differentiators. When I first started trading futures, I joined Anthony Drager's community. So I was part of a community.
Yeah, shout out to Mr. Drager, by the way.
Yeah, Drager's been, you know, he's really propelled this industry forward a lot. And so I joined his community. At the time, I was still trading options quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I had, you know, option strategies running that worked well. But I saw the volatility increase in the market. And I'm like, I need to get in on this, like, day trading app.
I actually didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is that how you met him?
That's how I met Drager. No way. So I traded in his room. And then I just typing smart ass things on there. You know me, I just say some funny stuff occasionally. Like 1 out of 100 jokes is good, but it's so good that the 99 are forgiven. And so that's how I traded in his room. I chatted with him. That's how I met him. And then I was looking at footprints before. I was like, what is this footprint thing? So I was with Trevor's platform back then. What was it called? It was on Investor RT. But it was called Market Delta Charts. It was just white labeled.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was looking at these things, looking for education. And then he was explaining the footprint in a way that I knew made sense in a way that he knew it.
The baby bird?
Yeah, like the baby bird stuff. And I was like, look, I got to look into this tool more. I'm missing something here. And the more I looked into it, the more I picked up on it. I'm kind of an independent learner. I like to source things from people, but when I kind of get it,
you get it.
I like to isolate.
I think we're the same.
Perfect it, you know?
Yeah, we're quite similar.
By myself. So it started out with Dragger's community. So I was part of a community. If I had not been part of a community and couldn't talk to people and get other people's perspectives, who knows? Maybe I would have been trading options. I was doing options pretty successfully, but I was part of a community then too. It was my own because there wasn't a big options community. I didn't like the approach people took with day trading options. You know, it's kind of silly. But anywho, that's a whole other topic. So community is important. I started one as well. And then I created one. And, you know, I say I, but really it's everyone here. Mark, Victorio, all of you guys part of Trapper Academy. We created a community. And I love waking up and playing on a team. Trading is a team sport. But at the end of the day, the performance is individual. You know, you could win a Stanley Cup in hockey and your contract might not get renewed next year. You might not have met the expectations that you were signed for.
Mm-hmm.
So the team wins, but it's still an individual's performance and individual pay.
Yeah, that's a great point Georgie brings up. And I know the community has also been, you know, huge, huge help for me personally, my trading. And like I said at the beginning, if you join a successful trading community, you know, feel free to choose whichever one you want. Obviously, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, we have our community, the Trade Pro community. And, you know, it's really grown really since I joined the team. And it's actually crazy to see the amount of, you know, awesome traders that we have in the community. Everybody shares. Everybody's willing to share their successes. Everybody's willing to share, you know, their drawdowns, even the tough days. And I was actually sitting in on a call, in a group coaching call, and one of the members that had gone through the coaching and has really, really found success in his approach to the markets, said that one thing. He said, a lot of the traders, I feel that the people that will get the most success, or they'll get the most benefit from these coachings, are the people that are honest with their successes, but are even more honest and open about their losses, because you can't progress without sharing that stuff. And that's the power of a community. Imagine being able to ask somebody that's been doing this in the trenches, like George since 01, like myself since 2013, 2014, like Vic from around the same time, right? We're in the trenches every single day, and that's the benefit of being in the community. You can ask questions real time, and get those answers real time. You can see what other traders are seeing. And we have a great diversity in the room as well. Not everybody trades equities, right? We've got gold bugs. We've got oil bugs, right? And so whatever you trade, we've got the community for you guys. And as we're starting to wrap up this episode, I just want to leave you guys kind of with this. When you're about to give up, you are always the closest you will be to success. So, you know, if you guys have lost money and you're considering quitting, go back to your why. Why did you get into this industry in the first place? If you do that and you still want to trade, realize that you're turning away at the highest probability moment for your success.
And if your why is away motivated, you know, you might want to work on the why a little bit. I think that if you want something bad enough, that usually it's because you have a purpose for it. If you don't have a purpose for it, you're kind of indifferent whether you get it or not. You want it until you see the next shiny thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But if this is your life mission, if you think that you should control your own schedule, if you think that you should have freedom, if you think that you deserve financial abundance without having to put in, you know, crazy hours and overtime and not work for anyone, then it should be worth the sacrifice. It should be worth a blown out account. None of this should be discouraging enough to you. If you feel discouraged enough that you're like, you know what, trading is not for me, you know, go back to your why first before you leave. Why are you doing this? Can this help you get there? Do you want it bad enough? And if you do, all these five steps are going to be something you're going to do with eagerness. You know, you're going to be excited to do it like I was. I'll tell you one thing. Like I wrote it in the book. My book, Path to Profit. You guys should check it out. But in there, I remember my mom will ask me when I was deciding, you know, should I trade full-time or school? She said, what if this doesn't work out? And she stunned me.
I remember this.
I never considered in my life the potential that this would not work out. I had considered it wouldn't now. It wouldn't this way. I had considered I'd have to do other things, more sacrifices to make it work. Not once did it cross my mind it would never work out. And since then, I haven't thought about it ever again. It's like, there's never doubt. I'm the kind of person, if I want it, how do I make it happen? And you have to be that kind of person or become that person to succeed in this business. Because guess what? If you find something that works for you today and you're making money, tomorrow the market's going to change.
And as it has this week.
Exactly.
As it has this week.
And so it's on you to constantly develop, absorb, come up with new things, innovate, try new things. The day that you say, that's it, I'm a successful trader, I'm done, I don't have to learn anything new, is the day that, you know, it's the beginning of the end. You know, it's going to start to go down. You're constantly growing. You're constantly fighting. There's no easy day. But my God, they're all rewarding in their own way.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's it, guys. That's what we've got for today's episode, Trade Pros. So, again, I want to thank you guys for listening. Thank you for taking the time out of your schedules. You know, whether you're listening to this on your way to work, on your way back home from work, whatever you may be doing, thank you guys so much for taking the time and being here with us. What we ask of you in return is if you can think of one person in particular that might find today's message really helpful on their trading journey, please, please share this episode with them. And also, you guys enjoy listening to this podcast. You know, we work pretty hard to put this thing together for you guys. And it is free. So in return, if you guys can just do us a quick favor, pop on over to iTunes, leave us a rating and a review, that would be really greatly appreciated. Until the next episode, everyone, good luck and good trading. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.